Sport of Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, play nice. Christians are meant to be more than nice. We're going to help you be the strong person you're called to be. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, the show is titled Play Nice, as we talk about how to stop focusing so much on being nice and instead learning to be strong, virtuous, good, genuinely, as opposed to just sort of taking the easy way out, which is really what niceness is all about. The point of avoiding niceness isn't about being mean. It's about being virtuous and being genuinely good and strong. Are you stopping yourself from saying something that needs to be said or doing something that needs to be done, maybe out of concern for someone else's negative reaction, for example? Do you have a hard time saying no or setting boundaries, especially when other people are likely to push back? We want to help you overcome that tendency to play nice and instead discover the power of living a genuinely virtuous life. 877-573-7825.
Well, more than that, we're going to help you do it effectively and sanely, because I think a lot of people right now are getting caught up in the fact that an awful lot of communication between friends, people we are acquainted with, or even distant family members is happening on a screen. You know, it's happening in typewritten messages on your phone, on your computer. And we want to be virtuous, and we want to call people on, and sometimes we're falling into just greeds. You know, just arguments that are going nowhere, that are breaking down relationship, that are making us feel angry or disempowered by the end of them. So there's a way to not just let things go and be nice, but there's a way to do it effectively, to be virtuous, to call people on, to work for their good in a way that works. And then there's the way that kind of just blows things up, whether that's, you know, in a message or even face-to-face. And I think a lot of people settle for being nice because they just don't want the aggravation and the conflict anymore.
Well, right, exactly. We automatically think that the opposite of nice is mean, and that there aren't any other alternatives. The Christian alternative is to be virtuous, to be able to say, this, you know, let me step back here for a second and choose the response that's going to let me be my best self. Right? I mean, that's really the point. You know, before I react, I have to step back and ask myself, how can I respond to this in a way that allows me to be my best self and to pursue the goal that I'm working toward here, which needs to be working for the good of the other person. You know, so when we think about these things, you know, these difficult situations where we might have to set a boundary or say no or bring up a topic that's hard to discuss or do something that's hard to do because we know we're going to get some pushback from people, it's really helpful to not just get caught up in either how do I feel about it or how are they going to react to it, but rather focus instead on what's the goal I'm working toward here, and how can I be my best self while I work toward that goal?
And how can I possibly affect the change that I really, really need? So I'm not just putting it out there and saying, I'd like to achieve this goal to the person we'd like to achieve it with, but to really help it to move along toward that goal.
That's right. And the theology of the body can teach us a lot about how to respond effectively in these situations, to be strong and good instead of just nice.
Sure, because we have a tendency to get caught up in our feelings and our reactions to other people's feelings. But the theology of the body recognizes that feelings, because they were created by God and are part of our body, they can be good. But it reminds us that we have to be careful not to be defined by what we feel in the moment. Rather, at all times, we have to lean into what we believe to be the loving, responsible thing to do.
Well, let's break that down, right? So to be loving means to be committed to working for the good of another person. So I got to be committed to working for the good of the people around me, using all of my gifts to help them become everything God is calling all of us to be. But being responsible means being intentional rather than being reactive. In other words, to be able to have that ability to choose, the ability to respond, if you will, in the best way in any given situation, instead of just going along with whatever my feelings are telling me to do in that moment. By doing that, we become emotionally healthy. We check our feelings against what we know to be the loving and responsible thing to do. And that allows us to be healthy, strong, and good. All the things that nice doesn't really allow us to do, because nice is really just about taking the easy way out. Where being virtuous is about being loving and responsible, working for my good, working for your good, working for the good of our relationship, and doing it in a way that allows us all to grow together. And yet, that can sound, you know, nice on paper, but hard to do in practice. So we're asking you here, you know, think for a minute. Are you stopping yourself from saying something you really feel needs to be said, or doing something that needs to be done, addressing a problem that needs to be addressed, out of concern for someone else's negative reaction or the pushback you're going to get? Do you have a hard time saying no, setting limits, taking even appropriate risks, especially if you feel like someone's going to push back against you there? Let us help you overcome that tendency to, quote-unquote, play nice, and instead discover the power of living a genuinely virtuous life so that you can be the strong, good person God is calling you to be in everything that you do. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father,
Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you and we ask you to give us the wisdom to know how to surrender our desire to be nice, to just take the easy way through things, and instead pursue genuine virtue, to be the strong, good, healthy, godly people you are calling us to be in every situation, so that we can, as your servant Pope St. John Paul the Great reminded us, be loving and responsible in everything that we do. That we can say the things that need to be said, but in a way that others can hear them. We can do the things that need to be done, but in a way that actually glorifies you and addresses the problems. That we can set the limits and boundaries that we need to set, but in a way that works for the good of our relationships, so that in all that we do, we're not just lashing out or giving in, but we're working for our good, the good of the other, the good of the relationship, and to glorify you. We ask all of this in the name of the Father, and of the Son,
and
the
Holy
Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great.
Pray for us.
So we're asking you today on our show titled Play Nice, where Christians are meant to be more than nice. Rather, we're meant to be strong and good and virtuous. We're asking you, are you stopping yourself from addressing a problem that needs to be addressed, saying something that you feel needs to be said, or doing something that really needs to be done because you're afraid of the reaction you're going to get, the pushback that people are going to give you, the negativity you're going to have to deal with? Do you have a hard time, for example, saying no or setting a boundary with someone who's kind of taking advantage, you know, and being a bit of a user, but you're not sure how or whether it's even okay to do that because you know they're going to tell you you're not being nice? Let's talk about how to be good and strong and effective in the face of those challenges. 877-573-7825.
I think this is happening more and more during this very weird year we're living through, because people are kind of exhausted and depleted, and they just don't want to deal with one more thing, and so they'll just go along to get along in a lot of relationships that are actually really draining them more than they know, because they are just being nice about everything, so they're not taking on those things that really matter in their lives, really matter to them, will help them live well and help other people live well. But I think as this has stretched out, this odd time that we're living in, I think people are beginning to realize that it's more than just what's going on out in the world that's toxic. That sometimes our toxicity that we're living in is magnified by the fact that we just don't want to deal with conflict. We just don't want to work for other people's good or our own good. And so this can really be something that, in a time where we feel we have so little control over life, that we can take on and make our corner of the world and our particular lives a whole lot healthier, a whole lot holier, and a whole lot actually more peaceful and better and fruitful by getting over just the tendency to be nice so that we can hold on to some kind of quiet stability that we really know deep down is not very stable at all.
Exactly. And again, I really want to highlight this, because especially in this time, as you were pointing out a little bit earlier, Lisa, we're not suggesting that by kind of taking on this idea of being nice, we're somehow encouraging people to be mean. Not it at all. Mm-mm. There's too much of that going on in the world. It's about being effective, right? Because when a person is being nice, they often don't say things that need to be said or do things that need to be done. But the opposite isn't just go out there and blast people however you feel like it in the moment. It's about what we were saying in the first part of the program when we were unpacking the point from the theology of the body. It's about being loving and responsible. Yeah. It's about saying what needs to be said, but in a way that the other person can really hear it. It's about doing what needs to be done, but in a way that makes it clear that you're working for your good, the other person's good, and the good of the relationship, and trying to glorify God. It's not just about shooting from the hip,
right,
and hoping that everything works out.
Well, there's laying down the foundation of kindness and love in the relationship, so that when we do need to call upon another virtue, a different kind of virtue, it resonates with people. You know, we have a woman who works with us at Catholic Counselors, and she's sort of the heart and soul of everything we do. And she is one of the kindest, most virtuous people that we have the blessing of knowing. And she works for other people's good so much in her life that what ends up happening is that anything she does gets magnified a thousandfold. So whether it's a blessing kind of a thing, a positive thing, like one day she found out that our oldest daughter got engaged, and she sent her this lovely message, and she's like, I'm so excited, I'm dancing in my kitchen. And it made all of our hearts just glow, because we knew how much she meant it because of the virtuous person she is. But there's also nothing she could come to us with that would be a concern that we wouldn't immediately give credence to and listen to, because she works for people's good so much of the time. She's such a virtuous person in her own life that she gets taken very seriously by everyone. And I look at her her way of living, and it's a model to kind of follow. And I think when we want to be taken seriously, when we want our desires to have the gravitas they need to have, living the difference between the virtues of kindness and love instead of just niceness and placating and sort of living an insipid kind of a life because we're afraid to take anything on. If we want to be taken seriously, if we want that gravitas, living Christian virtue as God and Scripture has taught us is the way that's going to get us there.
So we want to help you be strong, effective, godly, grace-filled, and a whole healed person, right? And so that's really what this show is about. Are you stopping yourself from saying something that needs to be said, addressing a problem that needs to be addressed, doing something that you know needs to be done, especially because you are afraid of the negative feedback or pushback you're going to get? Do you have a hard time saying no or setting boundaries with people who are taking advantage, especially because you're concerned about the negative reaction you're going to get? We want to help you stop playing nice and instead discover the power of living a genuinely virtuous life. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Bob, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Maryland.
Hey, Bob, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Well, boy, you've really hit the mother load this morning, I'll tell you. This is a challenge. Yeah, I find myself just more often than not just not saying anything. because trying to bring up topics that, one, can't be dealt with in 30 seconds. I mean, some of this stuff is extremely complex, and it needs time to flesh out, you know, a lot of the issues that I think need to be discussed. But but that's hard to do. That's hard to do in a soundbite or in one, you know, one sentence or two. And I just find a lot of the things that I want to talk about and feel strongly about just aren't shared by many of my own family members. And I just, it's just impossible to talk about it.
So you're looking for, you know, just different ways to bring things that are difficult to talk about up with your family, for example.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, what I've tried to do recently is maybe just find an article that I find that I think is kind of making the point well and forwarding it to people.
And what's the subject matter? You're like, give me an example of something you'd like to be able to talk about and what kind
of... Well, example is, I mean, let's take the coronavirus thing. I mean, I just am sick of living in fear. I mean, I just think people are so ridiculously fearful. About this thing, and the recently Monsignor Pope sent out a note, you know, in D.C., just talking about that subject of people living in fear, and I just forwarded to right. my family members, and now when he comes out with a coronavirus, they go, well, there you go. I mean, he's,
Well, so let's talk about, you know, how to bring up anything here, okay? How to talk about any of these things? You had a really good point. First of all, when you said you got to make sure that there's time to talk about the thing. You know, sometimes we do drive-by conflict, you know, where I'm going to throw this bomb out there and then kind of, oh, I don't have time to talk about it, so then I've created this huge mess.
Yeah, it's a horrible image, but it's true. You know, when we have these kind of, as you said, these drive-by moments, it's just a spray of disaster. It doesn't really effectively change anything.
So number one, you want to make sure you have the time to talk about it. And if you don't, it's okay to like kind of put a little bookmark in there and say, hey, yeah, this is something I'd really like to talk more about with you. Can we make some time to have that conversation? Right? So that's number one. You make the time to do it. If it's important enough to have it at all, then it's important enough to make the time for it. Secondly, when you bring it up, let's drop the agendas. Okay, and let's drop the assumptions. I think, you know, so for example, the thing you said there, you said that you're sick of people being living in fear. I have no idea what the motivation of somebody else is for what the opinions that they hold.
And each and every person has a different motivation.
So I've got to go, if I go in there with the presumption that they're doing X because of Y, I've stopped listening and treating them as a person. Right, and I'm treating them as a two-dimensional cardboard cutout. My job in any conversation is to go in there and say, "Help me understand why you're doing what you're doing." Right? Let me, and part of that is my responsibility as a Christian is to try to see what's good in that, especially to be Catholic. You know, because to be Catholic and to have, if you will, Catholic tastes means to try to see the good where it can be found. Like, I'm going to, even if I disagree with 99.9% of what you say, my job is to try to help, well, myself see, okay, well, I can understand that, or I can appreciate that, or there's some good in that. And by validating that, it shows the other person that I'm reasonable and I'm not trying to shove an agenda down their throat. I'm genuinely interested in learning from them and hearing from them and sharing what we can with each other so we can work together on things, right? So make the time to have the conversation. Don't go in with presumptions about why they're doing what they're doing.
Even with not going in with presumptions, taking a pause in a moment and say, Lord, help me see the virtue they're trying to live in this. If I can hold on to the virtue they're trying to live, then I can give themselves and myself some grace in all of this. My emotional temperature will come down. So if we're called to have a conversation, it can be a loving conversation.
And I guess the last point, and this is sort of related to the other thing, is don't make people into a project, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have a responsibility to treat others as persons that deserve to be loved, not projects that need to be fixed or completed. And so if I go in with this sort of agenda, I'm here to convince you of X, I've treated that person as a project. They're going to react to that. Instead, it's okay for me to go in and say, look, here's why I do what I do. Here's why this is important to me. Here are the goods that I'm trying to live up to. And present that. You know, and in fact, let's take this off of the topic that you mentioned, but let's talk about apologetics, right? The whole point of apologetics, which is, you know, presenting convincing arguments about the faith, is not to convince anybody. It's to simply walk through the logic of why we believe what we believe. The rest is up to the Holy Spirit. And so the same thing is true of any conversation that we want to have, especially about difficult topics. We present why we think the way we do and the virtues we're trying to live up to as we do the things we're doing. But we recognize that there are valid ways to see these things in other ways, too, and we need to be open to that so we can learn. So make the people around you less of a project, let go of the agenda, and focusing on listening and connecting and appreciating what's good both about your own position and theirs.
And I would say the last thing here, Bob, is that if you only have a few seconds, if this is a conversation that you're going to try to have in the supermarket parking lot with somebody that's just triggered you in some way, ask the Holy Spirit for peace and grace and move on, because really I think Satan is in the two-minute conversations in all of this. It's if we can't treat the person like a person in the time we have instead of a project, then pray for the ability to remain silent and pray for that person and move on.
Thanks for the call, Bob. We got to take a break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about the challenge of being strong in the face of, well, things that we need to say or do that need to be done, but we're afraid to get that pushback, or if we have to have a hard time setting boundaries or saying no because we're going to get people upset with us. How do you stop playing nice, but instead develop the strength that living a genuinely virtuous life leads you to? 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Father Thomas Loya of the Tabor Life Institute. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo. Your search for affordable health care stops here. Since 2014, CMF Curo has provided Catholics with affordable health care sharing that goes beyond insurance. With programs that cost less than many COBRA and ACA-sponsored plans, CMF Curo is a Catholic health sharing experience that enables you to live fully alive while saving money. Call 1-833-GET-CURO to find affordable Catholic health care now. That's 1-833-GETCURO.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living. Effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Research shows that when families openly live and share their faith together, they're more able to respond positively to the challenges they face every day.
So if you're looking for help in creating that joyful place where each member of your family experiences life as a gift from God, then you will want to check out our book, Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide for Raising Faithful Kids.
You can find this book on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
And I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Play Nice, as we talk about how Christians are meant to be more than nice, that we're meant to be strong, virtuous people that allow us to be effective. So we're asking you, are you stopping yourself from saying or doing something that needs to be said or done, addressing a problem that needs to be addressed? 877-573-7825. We're going to help you find charitable ways to deal with all of that and more. Joining us right now, Father Thomas Loya of the Tabor Life Institute is here to talk to us about the difference between nice and virtue. Hey, Father Loya, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you. It's very nice to be here.
I see what you did there, Father Loya.
Well, let's talk about that. So the difference between being virtuous and being nice. I think a lot of people are afraid if they kind of give up nice, they're going to end up being mean. But that's really not what we're called to. What do you want to say?
The mistake we make is that, in deference to everyone, we don't want to hurt people. We want to be compassionate. The problem is we think that comes only in one package, one form, and that is nice. The word nice, actually, its origin, actually from Latin, it meant ignorant and eventually foolish. And even if you look it up in the dictionary, it's hard to define. Like, really, what is nice? What do we mean by nice? Virtue, on the other hand, is a very, very strong, deep, rich word, powerful. It means strength or moral strength. It's where we get the word virile, you know, like manliness. You know, it means it has solidity, has strength to it. And when we use the Tao Te Ching principle here, we see that what we're trying to do when we need to tell somebody something and we're afraid we're not going to be nice. Think of the theology of the body. It's about the person. You want to send a message where you may be correcting them or saying something that has to be said, but you're doing it in a way where you're affirming them as a person, their potential, kind of pointing them to a better way. That this could be better, or you could be better, or I know you're better. Basically, you're telling them you believe them as a person, and that's precisely why you have to say this or correct this or bring this up.
It's about being loving and responsible so that you can make that best choice to work for their good and the good of your relationship. Father Loya, thanks for being with us. If folks would like to learn more about your good work, they can go to Tabor, T-A-B-O-R, life.org. We're taking your calls at 877-573-7825.
Get more information on today's guest and download the program from the Ave Maria Radio website, avemariaradio.net. And when your local radio signal is out of reach, listen live on the Ave Maria Radio app.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
Not everyone who's attracted to the Lord and to a life of service is necessarily meant to be a priest. So there's all kinds of forms. I mean, from, let's say, the Brotherhood, if you want to stay within a formal religious context, but then all kinds of ministries within a parish, all kinds of lay ministries that you can do. So not everyone's called to the priesthood. A priest is someone who is dedicated, devoted to ongoing study and ongoing prayer, to be a spiritual father. As Pope Benedict said, one of his wisest remarks, he said, people want many things from a priest, but what they want above all is someone who's a master of the spiritual life. Hey, I'm great at this ministry, and hey, I'm great at organizing this meeting, and hey, I'm great. Fine, but ultimately what the people want is you're a master of the spiritual life. You got to be, therefore, trained in prayer and theology and spirituality and so on.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
I wrote a new book called Wheat and Tares as a way to approach the sexual abuse crisis by clergy in the Catholic Church. I hope that this book would be something that came out of my prayer for a lot of months and would be able to help inform your prayer.
Wheat and Tares, Restoring the Moral Vision of a Scandalized Church by Father Mitch Pacwa. Now available at EWTNRC.com.
Support for Ave Maria programming comes in part by CatholicCounselors.com. Self-help resources and support from Catholic telecounselors from the privacy of home. CatholicCounselors.com, helping your faith, life, and relationships flourish.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Many people say that after baby comes, marital intimacy is over. But that is absolutely not true. You just need to be creative. Greg and I love going out on dates to parks, performances, and restaurants. So after we had our children, we still went out on dates. But we brought the baby along. We sat by an exit, asked for a to-go box with the meal as soon as it came, and brought quiet activities for the baby. We went to a few favorite places repeatedly. And most of all, we went into the date expecting an adventure. While you may occasionally have to leave a restaurant or an event with a fussy baby, chances are the date will work out just fine, and you can maintain the intimacy with your spouse without sacrificing bonding time with your new baby.
Your social life isn't over when a new baby comes. In fact, it's just beginning to get interesting. For more Catholic parenting tips, visit us at moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Our show today is titled Play Nice, the idea being that Christians are meant to be more than nice. We're meant to be strong, good, virtuous people, but it's hard to know what that looks like. So we're asking you, are you stopping yourself from saying something that needs to be said, or doing something that needs to be done, or addressing a problem that needs to be addressed because you're afraid of the pushback that you're going to get, the negative reaction? Do you have a hard time saying no, or setting boundaries, or getting people to really hear the concerns you're trying to express, or the needs you're trying to present, especially when you think other people might react negatively to what you're going to say or do? Let's talk about how to overcome that tendency to, quote-unquote, play nice, and instead discover the power of living a genuinely virtuous and effective life. 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825.
Well, especially this year, I think I'm seeing people fall into one of two camps. Either they're nice because, and I put the word in italicized, right? They're nice because they just don't feel like they have the energy to do anything else. You know, so it's we're going through a hard time. I'm just going to be nice. Anything from just, yeah, you can have another cookie before dinner. It's fine. I'm just going to be nice. To putting up with their spouse just kind of checking out because they don't want to fight about it. They don't have the energy to deal with it. Not having the energy to deal with things seems to be one motivation toward just being nice. The flip side of that, unfortunately, is that when we get to the end of that energy that we think we're saving by being nice, and it comes, that end of energy comes very quickly these days, we just go into rage. You know, it's like, you've gotten a cookie every day, or you've done that, are you out of your, whatever that is, we slip very quickly into nice, from nice to rage, because we're not living virtue. We're not living in, and the thing about living into virtue, and I want to hear what you want to say in 2 seconds, just let me finish this one thought. The thing about living into virtues, okay, so living hopefully, lovingly, with justice, with fortitude, that gives us energy. We think it won't. We think it's going to be too hard and draining. But when we start living that way, the Holy Spirit sweeps in and we start to have the energy we need to live our lives well, to know we're alive in Christ.
Well, here's the thing. All right. Nice and rage are actually two sides of the same coin because they're both reactions.
Mm-hmm.
They're both reactions. When you're living in reaction, you're living in your limbic brain, right? Your emotional brain, which is your sort of like lizard brain, right? You're not thinking through things, you're just reacting to stuff. So one reaction is what I call the pouting, withdrawing reaction. And that's kind of the nice reaction. It's where I'm going to just avoid conflict and keep my head down and stay out of the way. Another reaction is to fight, right? So where I'm going to just lash out. But they're both reactions. They're both responses from that being that limbic emotional brain. To be virtuous means stepping out of that lizard brain and stepping into your cortex, where you're actually thinking through the best response to make to this particular situation. So you're not reacting anymore. And what happens a lot of times when we're going to focus on being nice, and that's again, that reaction of keeping our heads down, pouting, withdrawing, and then we can't take it anymore, so then we lash out, which is the other side of that same coin. But we're still living in reaction. So a lot of times people will come to me and say, I've done everything, Dr. Greg. I've tried everything and nothing works. And I'll say, well, tell me what you've done. It's like, well, I tried to be nice and I just tried to put up with it. And then I couldn't take it anymore. Then I just yelled and we had a big fight about it and that didn't work. And so then I just tried to let it go again and I tried to be nice. And then they just go back and forth. And what they've done is all the things that are guaranteed to not work.
Well, what they've done is do everything that they've been able to do within their reactive brain.
Right.
What they haven't done is engaged their thinking brain and the Holy Spirit. Because
that's right.
I'm going to speak personally here. When I am spending a moment living in reaction, however long that moment lasts, a second, 3 years, whatever that is, there is this knowledge deep in the back of my brain that the Holy Spirit is knocking at my brain going, you're going to let me in? You're going to let me help you? You're going to let me help you be the person you want to be and to give you consolation? And I'm living in that reactive brain, and this tiny little voice is going, no, no, I won't. I'm just, you don't understand. But God's right there the whole time. The Holy Spirit's right there the whole time saying, I want to be there for you. I want to bring you out of this. I want to help you with this. I want to help you carry it. I want to help you heal it. I want to help you solve it. And when we live in that reactive brain, we shut off the Holy Spirit. So taking this pause and saying, okay, all right, I want to be able to engage the Holy Spirit here and live the virtues that the Holy Spirit is trying to give me instead of just live in reaction that Satan is going to run wild with and wreck a whole lot of stuff in my life and other people's lives by living in that reaction. When we say yes to God, I want to live into virtue. I want to live into who you want me to be. Teach me, Lord. And that's the thing. We don't have to have all the answers. We just have to know what... We have to first say yes to God, and secondly say, Lord, what virtues do you want me to bring to this? Then he'll start to tell us. We don't have to know it while we're still living in our lizard brain, as you call it.
There we go. So we're asking you, are you stopping yourself from saying something that needs to be said, doing something that really needs to be done, or even addressing a problem that needs to be addressed out of concern for someone else's negative reaction? Do you have a hard time saying no or setting boundaries, especially when you think other people are likely to push back? We want to help you get past that tendency to, quote-unquote, play nice, and instead really discover the power of living virtuously and effectively. 877-573-7825.
Well, Greg, I want to take this message that we got from Tanya, who is listening to EWTN Radio in Pennsylvania. And she says, I've been married for almost 34 years. My husband has been an alcoholic for at least 5 years and has had drinking issues all of his life. The last 5 years have brought me to my limit. He has been forced into rehab once, went on his own once, but stayed only 2 weeks. Says rehab is not for him and will not go to AA meetings anymore. We have been separated several times, and I always come back under his words that he's going to do better. I want a loving marriage, but I don't believe that it is ever going to happen. He wants everything on his terms and tells me that I don't understand. I'm struggling to be supportive of either one. He says therapy isn't for everyone and I should depend on him. I believe it's just another way of controlling me, and I'm at my breaking point. And again, that's Tanya listening in Pennsylvania.
All right, Tanya, God bless you. And, you know, this is a terrifically challenging thing to be dealing with, and I'm sorry that you've been struggling so long. But I think that your question gets to the heart of what we're talking about on this show today. You know, we want to be nice to that person who is suffering, and so we want to take them at their word, and it ends up setting us up and them up for failure. You know, your husband is not only an alcoholic, he's a narcissist, and you know, he doesn't want to have to depend on anybody else. He doesn't want to let anybody in. And so he thinks he's so special that therapy won't work for him. He's so special that rehab won't work for him. He's so special that AA won't work for him. That's typical narcissism that's accompanying chemical substance abuse. He's textbook. It's exactly this personality that these programs were designed for. And a good sponsor will call him on his stuff, but
which is probably one of the reasons he's running away from it.
Exactly. But you are falling into that trap of playing nice and taking him at his word when he says, "I'll be better this time. I'm going to do it different this time."
Well, and she says in this email that he literally says, you know, don't go to any support groups. Just depend on me. But he's proven for, how long to say, 34 years here, that she can't depend on him, that he's not capable of following through on being dependable.
So the virtuous response here, again, what are the virtues we're talking about? Loving and responsible, right? So those are the two virtues that are at the heart of the theology of the body. St. John Paul talked about, you know, love being the commitment to work for the good of another person, and responsibility is the ability to respond in the best way in a given situation. Your husband needs somebody who's strong enough to set real limits with him and say, honey, I love you and I want to be in a loving marriage with you, but you cannot step a foot in this house until you are clean and sober.
And let's break that down.
You work in your program.
Let's break that down for a minute, Greg, because I think Tanya might, if we had her on the phone, respond with, well, I've been separated from him many times. I've set that limit. But she goes on to say, but then I take him back because he says it's going
to be
different.
Right, and what's happened there, and I'm not blaming you for this, Tanya. He'd be a drunk even if you weren't in the picture, mm-hmm. okay? But I want to say this. You're teaching him that if he just waits you out long enough, you'll go along with his words instead of making him prove to you that he's actually working a program. You need to see him before he would come back in the house, have at least 6 months of sobriety, and not just white knuckling it, go into AA every day.
Like, and literally be able to show you his chips, be able to go into, say, our next step is counseling together. We need to be able to talk about our issues with, you know, the group that I'm in. Real concrete evidence that he's working a program.
No. But isn't that mean? Well, no, you're not, because you're not yelling at him, you're not calling him names, you're not degrading him in some way. You're saying, I love you and I want to be in a relationship with you. But you're not capable of that relationship unless you're clean and sober and working a program. And so I'm holding you accountable for being the man that God created you to be in the way that I have to do it, right? And so you're getting the proof that he's actually doing this work. Being nice just means you're going along to get along. Being virtuous in this situation means genuinely loving him and working for his good and setting those boundaries that require him to be the healthy, godly man that he's being called to be. So I just, Tanya, I mean, we're going to add you to our Mortal Life prayer list, and my heart breaks for you. I understand the pain that you're in and how difficult what I'm asking you to do is. But I'm telling you that not only is this good for your husband, this is good for you. Because the other thing is, you know, you say you're at your breaking point. If you divorce the guy at this point, you're not learning what you need to learn here. Right? It's one thing if you've set this effective limit and, you know, you are able to be strong and genuinely work for his good, and in the process of that, he kills himself by drinking himself to death. I mean, that's on him. Right? But if you just keep falling into this pattern where you don't know how to set effective limits with people, you're just going to repeat this in the next relationship. So learning how to do this is good for you too. And I think it's going to be important for you to get good professional counseling help to learn how to strengthen your spine so that you can be that godly, prophetic woman that our Lord is calling you to be in this relationship as well.
And I have to say, the fact that he doesn't want you in Al-Anon proves that there's something that changes when you get the support you need that he doesn't like. He knows it's undermining his control over you. So by all means, go back to Al-Anon, kick it up, and find yourself a good, personal, faith-filled, marriage-friendly counselor. I'm not saying you go to marriage therapy yet, but you want somebody who has an eye. But you're going to a personal counselor who's still marriage friendly, which is an actual thing, because you don't want somebody, as Greg was mentioning, to just say, well, just divorce him. It's just toxic. You want somebody who can say, oh no, you can both work through this and come out of this better people, closer to God, more who you're supposed to be, and better for each other. So get into personal counseling, as well as getting back into Al-Anon and kicking that up a couple of notches so that you really have the support you need to be the strong woman of God God's calling you to be in this situation.
Thanks for the question, Tanya. And as I said, we've added you to our Mortal Life prayer list. If there's more we can do to support you in this journey toward being that strong, effective, godly woman you're called to be, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. With that, we got to go to break. When we come back, though, we are continuing to take your calls about playing nice, specifically how Christians are called to be more than just nice. We want to help you be the strong, grace-filled, effective person you're meant to be. If you're struggling in setting boundaries, saying no, addressing things that need to be addressed, specifically because you're afraid of the pushback you're going to get from people, let's talk it out and find some charitable and effective ways to solve those problems. 877-573-7825. More to Life will be back right after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. My wife and I have used Seton Home curriculum for our homeschooling. One of the great things about it, you learn about your faith, not just in religion, but history and English and science and reading. Their curriculum uses saints as role models. I don't think they've used me yet. Children are prepared to rationally explain and defend their faith. It permeates the instruction. You want to give your kids not only a top-notch education, but an understanding of their faith as it permeates the subjects that matter in their lives. I don't know if there's too much better than Seton homeschooling. We used it a lot. You are the best teacher for all of that. Let Seton get right beside you and give you the material you need. Go to SetonHome.org. SetonHome.org.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, we're talking about being strong and effective as opposed to just playing nice. Are you stopping yourself from saying something that needs to be said, doing the things that need to be done, because you're afraid of the pushback you're going to get? How do you engage that charitably and effectively? Let's talk about it. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Elizabeth, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Hey, Elizabeth. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Thank you so much. So you're speaking my language here, and I think the Holy Spirit has prompted me to call you this morning.
Okay.
I am a kindergarten teacher and as in a Catholic school, and I have an aide assigned with me, and I'm a peacemaker. I'll just say that as my personality. I don't like conflict. I will avoid it at all costs, which to my detriment.
Yeah.
So this woman in the position we're in, she kind of, as time goes on, she creeps responsibilities that should be mine, starts to take them, and kind of calls herself a co-teacher, which is not what she's supposed to be.
Right.
And I just can't. Say I can't set the boundaries. I gear myself up. I pray to the Holy Spirit, come help me say it, and then I can't because I just think I know what she's going to say. She's going to say, "Oh, I'm just trying to help," and I don't know how to get past that. I'm stuck.
Well, would you say that's not helpful? I appreciate that you're trying to help, but being helpful means doing what I need you to do, not what you think you should do. So if you're not comfortable with that, then you can't be here. So do you think that you could limit yourself to doing those things that I need you to do, or do you think you need to find some other place to be?
Now that's terrifying.
Now that's what you need to say. Now tell me when you hear me say that, what's the reaction you have to that?
Well, I start to get butterflies in my stomach. Sure. Oh, my goodness, because I know the first words out of the mouth are going to be, but I'm just trying to help. And then I'll say, but that's not helpful. But I'm just trying to. So
again, I responded to that. See, the problem isn't what she says. The problem is that you're not believing what you need to say here. It's not, I don't care if you're trying to help, dear. Being helpful means doing what I've asked you to do, not doing all the things that you think you should do and pretending to be a teacher.
You can even lead with, thank you so much for, you know, your helpful heart. I really appreciate that. But right now, this is what I need.
And where you're getting hung up here is you think that you have to convince this person to agree with you before you can set the limit, right? And what when you say, oh, I know what her or she's going to say to that, it's irrelevant what she's going to say to that. The only reason it matters to you is because you believe you have to convince her. And you don't have any power unless she agrees with you. What I'm saying to you is that you need to put the limit that says, look, being helpful means doing what I ask you to do and limiting yourself to that. Do you think you can do that, or do you need to find some other place to be? Because if you keep doing what you're doing, you can't be here. Am I making myself clear? Right? So it's not a matter of convincing. And she's, well, but I'm just trying to be helpful. I appreciate that you're trying to be helpful, but I'm telling you that if you can be helpful, that means doing what I've asked you to do. If you can't do that, then you can't be here. I need you to make a choice.
Here's what I'm going to say to you, Elizabeth, as one former teacher to another, okay? I know you have the skills to do this. As much as you hate conflict, you have the skills because you're a teacher. So I want you to spend some time, as you say, you call upon the Holy Spirit, spend some time with the Holy Spirit in prayer as you lead up to this new, very bizarre school year, especially in the city of Pittsburgh. And just ask God to show you how to teach this aid of yours the way you would teach your students what to do. Because you control a classroom. You're not afraid of conflict with your students. You know you actually have to teach them how to solve conflict when two of them start having conflict with each other. So you have all of these skills built into you as the gifts that God has given you as a teacher. You're afraid to use them with adults, and I get that. But if you can take the time with God and say, all right, help me apply all of these gifts and all of these skills in the way that I would with young people, with this woman, with the other adults in my life, because I know you've given me the skills, Lord, but I need to bring them to the forefront so that you can do the kind of things that Greg says using your skill set.
But here's the thing, Elizabeth, this is the most important piece of it. You're buying into the idea that if she doesn't agree with you, then you don't have any power.
Right.
And the problem, when we do that, all the other person has to do is be willfully ignorant, and then they win. Like, they don't even have to have a good case. They just have to play dumb,
and then they win. I'm just trying to help thing.
I don't understand. I don't know. What are you trying to?
I'm just such a helpful, good person.
And the more they do that, the more, well, gosh, I just have to try harder to explain it to them. No, you don't. You have to give them
a choice.
Or
I have to be nice because they're being nice, and then you get in this circle of just nice, which doesn't give anybody any power at all.
So all you have to do in that situation is say, regardless of what you're trying to do, dear, what I'm telling you is that being helpful means doing the things I've asked you to do. If you can limit yourself to that, that would be tremendously helpful, and you are welcome here. I would love to have you. If you can't bring yourself to do that, then maybe you need to find a different position because you can't be here. So why don't you take the day to think about that, and you can let me know tomorrow whether you want to stick around.
Now, here's the thing. I would give both of you this leg up, which is you're entering into the new school year. Take some time and write a Word document on exactly what your role and her role is in your classroom, and be able to give that to her well in advance of the beginning school year and say, this is what I need from you in our classroom. This is how you can be the support person you've been hired to be. Are you set with that? Do we have our parameters set? Do you have any questions? Because this is what we need to be able to make this year work for us. Then you're starting off on the right foot. Your parameters have been clearly lined up, and you have had a conversation that you can go back to whenever you need
to. But again, it's not about convincing her. It's about stating a choice and saying you can either do these things and be here, or you can do whatever you want someplace else.
Just as you do with your students. I mean, you get them through an entire day. You don't sit around going, well, should we do math now? Do you want to? You can't do that with 30 kids in a classroom, right? You have to be able to say, this is what we're doing, and this is how we're doing it. And you have those skills. So I know you can do this, Elizabeth.
Thanks for the call, Elizabeth. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out. And that's all the time we've got for today's program. You know, we want to help you get out there and be that godly, effective, strong person that God created you to be. So if we can do anything else to help support you in that process, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where you can check out the resources we've mentioned on the program today and learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life. Learn more at CatholicCounselors.com. Then get on out there and celebrate the life you were meant to live, because with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day, folks. Thanks so much for tuning in.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.